Thank you for listening to this message from the ministry of Morse Corner Church in Leverett, Massachusetts. Morse Corner is a non-denominational church that is committed to the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our church was founded in 1896 by two students of the famous evangelist D.L. Moody. We seek to encourage and edify the body of Christ through the proclamation of God's word through the ministries of the local church. If you'd like more information, visit our website, morsecornerchurch.com. We hope you enjoy the message. For you are not under law, but under grace. Did you notice that? Paul didn't say, for sin might not have dominion over you. You know, sin, maybe it won't have dominion. No, he said it shall not have dominion. You see, the more you grow, the less of an issue sin will be. I said it last week, sanctification, it does not make you sinless, but it does make you sin less. So I don't think God opens our eyes to the wretchedness of sin all at once, because we wouldn't be able to handle it. Going back to what I said a few moments ago, when we first came to faith, there probably were a few things that we were unaware of. And now we look back on the way we were, whatever, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago maybe. We look back on ourselves and we say, I can't believe I did that. Can you relate to that at all? I mean, maybe you're near perfect. I don't know. You can't relate to that. But I look back and I think to myself, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. But now we take things more seriously, hopefully. So our potential in this life is that we can continue to become more like Jesus. Okay? It is our destiny, if you will, as believers, to become more like Jesus. The Bible says we shall be like him. So skip ahead for a moment to Romans 8:29. And I use the word destiny on purpose because this ties in with the idea of predestination. I know people hear that word. I don't want to talk about this. Some people love it. Some people hate it. That's the way it is. We'll get into it more. Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 9. But I use the word destiny because destiny is defined as predetermined events that are inevitably going to happen. Now, those of you who have seen the movie Star Wars, you'll remember that Darth Vader is consistently telling Luke Skywalker to turn to the dark side. He keeps telling him it is your destiny. You know, it's unavoidable. It's going to happen. There's nothing you can do to change that. Of course, that wasn't the case unless, of course, you know, there's a new movie coming out. So who knows? But predestination, it is not a burden. It is a blessing. Okay, it is a blessing. Some people don't like it because they think it violates the free will of the creature. But take a look at what Romans 8, 29 and 30 say. For whom he foreknew, this is talking about the Lord foreknowing his own. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So what is Paul saying? He's saying that believers are predestined to glory. That's not a burden. That is a blessing. You know, I grew up being taught the doctrine of eternal security. And I know most of you can relate to that, or at least you've heard it for the past 40 years or whatever the case. So I was taught the doctrine of eternal security, once saved, always saved. And, you know, I guess I believed it, but I have to be honest with you, I wasn't fully convinced. I would have told you I believed it, and I, like I said, I guess I did, but I just wasn't 100% sure. I wasn't sure until I studied it for myself and I saw this truth about predestination. That is what convinced me about the doctrine of eternal security. People always ask about predestination. Does this mean that some people are predestined to hell? People always ask that question. Listen, Paul isn't even talking about unbelievers here, is he? Did he say anything about unbelievers here? No, he didn't. He's talking about believers. So, he is teaching that God knows his own. They are predestined, and all who are predestined are called. And those who are called, all of them, they are justified. And all who are justified will be glorified. How do we know that? Because it has been predestined. It cannot be changed. Okay, your salvation and entrance into glory, it cannot be changed. That's what God is saying. So as a believer, you have a guarantee, okay, to become more like Jesus in heaven. It is your destiny, if you will. So he continues in Romans 8, if you were to keep reading, to say that nothing in all of creation can change that. That is the eternal security of the believer. Sanctification is a process. And what that is leading to is that when we reach glory, we shall all be like the Son of God. That's a pretty amazing thought, is it not? Sin, death, pain, sorrow, none of these things shall ever be able to touch us ever again. Never. It is a guarantee from God himself. So let's finish by looking at this final statement. In Romans chapter 6, 14, Paul says that we are not under law, but we are under grace. What does that mean? It's really amazing. I looked through so many study Bibles and commentaries and all this information, and it seems like nobody wanted to touch this with a 10-foot pole. I really couldn't find much of a statement on what this means. Now, I think I know what it meant even before I looked at that, but what I'm saying is there seems to be a lot of confusion about this idea of not being under the law, but being under grace. A lot of people have this wrong. They're all mixed up on it. So one of the best ways to teach on what something means, I believe, is by starting off by telling about what it doesn't mean. That's one of the most helpful ways to do it, I think. So what does it mean that we're not under law? Does it mean that, well, the law, the Ten Commandments, we don't have to follow those. We can just go out and do whatever we want because we're under grace. Is that what it means? I don't think so. Although it is one of the most common distortions with this passage. It's amazing anyone would think that, since Paul said in verses 1 and 2 of the chapter, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What was his answer? God forbid. Certainly not. So that's not what it means, obviously. So what does it mean that we are not under law? Well, first of all, we're not under the old covenant as Israel and Judah were. God made a covenant with them. And what did he say? If you obey my law, I will bless you. But if you disobey, I will curse you. And they said, we accept. We will do all that you say. Did they do it? No, the north, you know, the one nation was divided. The northern kingdom fell in 721 BC. The northern tribes, the 10 tribes, they now ceased to exist. The southern kingdom of Judah was a little better, but they were taken into Babylon in 586 BC. They got right for a time, came back into the land, but to make a long story short, God destroyed what was left of the nation in 70 AD. You remember what Jesus himself said. Your house is left to you desolate. That was finished. Why? Because they rejected their Messiah. So while they in the Old Testament were not saved by keeping the law as individuals, they were judged for disobeying it. And we know that the law, it made many, many demands. So we don't want to be under the law, do we? I don't think so, because Israel as a nation, they couldn't keep the law. Can we keep the law? You see, if we were under the law, we wouldn't fare any better. So what does it mean that we are not under the law, but we are under grace? We are now accountable to Christ, okay? We are in Christ, accountable to him rather than Moses or the law or a list of commandments. I believe Paul is also continuing to demonstrate that we are saved by faith and not by the works of the law. Because he says in Galatians, by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So what does it mean then to be accountable? To be accountable to Christ rather than the law? Well, when the law, or when we sin, the law says what? When we sin, the law says you must be punished. Grace says you can be forgiven. Grace says we can be forgiven. In the law, it brings cursing. Grace, it brings blessing. So we are not under the law, we are under grace. Why? Because we are in Christ. Of course, the flip side of that is this, that if someone is not in Christ, then they are under sin and its consequence. And they shall not inherit eternal life. The law can't save anybody. It's never been able to save anyone. So if you're not in Christ, God's going to judge you on his law. So I want to close by asking one simple question here this morning. Have you personally put your trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin? Are you trusting completely? Okay, not 50% Jesus, 50% my own good works or my baptism or anything else. No, do you trust completely in Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection? Because to reject that is to reject forgiveness and everlasting life. The Bible says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Or maybe that's not your issue. We're dealing with a subject of sanctification, so maybe it's more like this. Maybe you've just got off track. You gave your life to Christ, you started off well, but somewhere along the line, the cares of this world have taken priority, and you have left your first love. Romans 6 is all about saved people growing in the faith and overcoming the flesh. And that's something a person can determine to do right here and right now. And with God's help, he will provide a way. Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Michael Grant from Morris Cornick Church. If you'd like to listen to the complete message, or if you'd like more information about the ministry, visit our website, morriscornickchurch.com. And we'd love to have you join us some Sunday morning here in Leverett. Until next time, may the grace of God be with you.